Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, we'd like to thank you, Ms. Aaron Snow, and they call me the Hall of Fame Trainer of Champions as we travel the world for past, present, and future stars, as we deal with the boxing news, the interviews, the legend tales, and boxing history. Coming to you live from Pottsville, Pennsylvania, our radio aficionado, Bob Murray. How you doing, Bob, and happy holidays to you.
Yes, hello, Aaron. Happy Memorial Day weekend to everybody. Kind of got really weird weather up here in the northeast of the United States. You know, like cold and rainy, man, like 45 degrees outside. And it's late May, man. This is like some wild weather. But got some wild news in boxing, too, to talk about today as well.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of, as the pandemic thing's starting to try to get back to normal. I don't think it never will come back to normal, real normal, normie. But we're trying to deal with it the best way we can. But boxing is really, really opening up with different fights that are scheduled for later on this year. And what we come into news is the big talk about Dante Wilder and Tyson Fury, the whole big changes of events with that. And then we have some people coming out of retirement to schedule a fight to try to do some things. And we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about Manny Pacquiao, Spence, and, you know, Triple G and all the rest of them, and Canelo Alvarez, and what does all of this mean. And let's see what takes it place. But, Bob, as you always do, come on, let's get ready to go around the world on that carpet and dip in and dip out different places and let us know what's going on in boxing.
Let's take a trip. Okay, we start today, once again, back out of Las Vegas, Nevada, USA. Also on the zone, we're unbeaten 22-year-old champion Devin Haney. He's 25-0, 15 knockouts, defenses, WBC world lightweight title, against former world champion Jorge Linares, 47-5, 29 knockouts. And the co-main event will feature the Martin Joseph Ward. He's 24-1-2, 11 KOs versus Azinga Fuzili, 14-1, 8 KOs. That's a super featherweight contest. Also, Shane Mosley Jr., 17-3, 10 knockouts. Also on the card, taking on fellow middleweight Jason Quigley, 18-1, 14 knockouts. And Chantel Cameron, she's 13-0, 7 knockouts, defends her WBC World Female Super Lightweight crown against the 23-7-3 Melissa Hernandez. Showtime, they'll be in Carson, California for the WBC World Bantamweight title bout between undefeated champion Nordine Ubari, 17-0, 12 KOs, and the former champion Nonito Donaire, 40-6, 26 knockouts. The Subriel Matias, 16-1, all 16 of those wins by knockout, versus Patricio Zukembayev, 18-0, 14 knockout super lightweight fight, serves as the co-feature. Also, super lights Gary Antoine Russell, undefeated at 13-0, all 13 of his wins by knockout, and Giovanni Santiago, 14-1-1, 10 KOs, do battle. 13-0 super bantamweight Joaquin Camarena is showcased in Cheyenne, Wyoming. Action throughout Mexico tonight. Azteca TV will be at the Grand Hotel in Tijuana with super lightweights Carlos Diaz Ramirez, 29-1, and Elvis Torres, 19-1-2 clash. While over at the Big Punch Arena, the Leonardo de Stefano Ruiz, he's 7-0, 6 KOs, versus Fernando Silva, 19-14-3, super welterweight contest, closes the show there. Welterweights Ricardo Vladimir Soto and Luciano Chaparro Araujo face off in Del Carmen Capiche. And the spotlight is on 9-1 super welterweight Jose Antonio Delgado Vasquez in Salamanca. Mexico City will see both Ernesto Salcido Ortega, 12-0, 9 KOs, and a 9-0-1 with 3 knockouts, Odin Juarez, vying for the country's vacant super bantamweight crown. And in Cancun, 25-1 featherweight Zacharia Lucas is featured. Two venues in Nicaragua. Managua hosts the Alexander Taylor versus Jordan Escobar bantamweight confrontation. While in Sandino, featherweights Jose Zamora Soto and Franco Gutierrez trade punches. Santiago del Toro in Colombia, they host a battle for the country's lightweight crown when champion Andres Paredes faces off with Luis Diaz Marmor. Sao Paulo, Brazil, they check in with co-features as super lightweights Matias Batista da Silva Diaz and Daniel Araújo Jr. And they clash over there. And Lila Nueva del Santos Furtado, also, she fights Valesca Machado da Silva for the country's open female super bantamweight belt. Over now to Europe and Deutschlandsburg, Germany, where former champion 25-7 with 11 knockouts, Eva Vorarlberger, takes on Vanessa Lorena Taborda, seeking revenge for a fifth-round TKO loss in 2019. It's a big rematch to decide the WBC silver female bantamweight title, and Orsport Plus TV will be carrying that. Heavyweight Pavel Sauer, 13-4, steps in with Hany Atio, 16-4, in the headliner in Pisa, Czech Republic. Tashkent, Uzbekistan, hosts the contest to determine the vacant WBC, CIS, and Slovak Boxing Bureau Super Bantamweight Championships when Islombek Krylinov squares off with Rauf Agayev. Maurizio Franchella, he's 9-0-1, takes on Celso Neves, 7-1-1, for the vacant Switzerland super middleweight strap, and then the main attraction in Alcana, and that's in Brazil. Well, while in Basel, Gabriela Tomar dukes it out with Claudia Ferenzi, and that's the female light flyweight topper there. Female super flyweights are in action also in Pinerolo in Piedmont, Italy, where Giuseppina Di Stefano battles Nizana Silkovic, and also, we have a fight over in Cavalier in Veneto. That top there, girl, with the Andrea Roncon versus Nicole Vlaskov middleweight bout. While Grimello Del Monte in Lombardia closes the show with Abdullah Lalu versus Mateo Pereira, a lightweight contest. Welterweights Emil Keisler and Gökçe Karakam meet up in the welterweight finale in Gießen, Hessen, Germany. Two sites in France will host fights for three of the country's belts, as Mike Estevez and Sofian Bellatini vie for the open super bantamweight strap, and that's in Warsaw. Hello, and Rumili and Haute Savoie, that we'll see Bruno Sirace, 17-0-2, and Mehdi Madani, 20 wins, 8 losses, in a draw fight for the middleweight crown. And the 19-4-1 Thomas Fowler goes to go with the 16-8-1 Patrick Bois to determine the light heavyweight champion. Lee Stelzum headlines with undefeated super lightweight Hovhannes Martirosyan, 10-0, 7 KOs, crossing the ropes with Tosatni Sultanasevili. Valenciana, Spain will also see the battle of light heavyweights Tony Brown and Mateo Diana. And now south to Africa, to Dar es Salaam, Tanzania, where the Simba Watantanduro Makapo, he's 11-7-4 versus Abu Kagari Kihoho. He's 8-1-1 at the featherlight clash, and that's the show topper there. Finishing off today in Makan Sawan, Thailand, on TV7, where longtime WBA Super World Minimum Weight Champion, Knockout CP Freshmark, a.k.a. Tamanoon Neokam. He's 21-07 knockouts, defense against Siradek D-Book, who's 23-6-1 with 13 knockouts. There we go, 16 countries around the world. Everybody checking in. Everybody starting to get a little active here, and we like when we have that many countries, and we're looking to get more and more every week. So there we go. Good start to a Memorial Day weekend.
Oh, absolutely. And next weekend down in Florida, we have something brewing in the United States, with Floyd Mayweather and Lloyd putting on this exhibition. And we're going to see how the skills are with both of them. Floyd, the question is, being that Floyd Mayweather is going to be putting his exhibition on against a heavier fighter over 175 pounds and where he's at 147, is he going to be 150, and those things like that we're looking at, so can all of this come about?
Also, we just want to pass along some news that just broke earlier today or last night as far as that card next Sunday there, the big fight with Mayweather. But Jean Pascal, he is out now. He tested positive for PEDs. That's the fight versus Badu Jack. That was going to be a big rematch from the fight they had back in 2019. But Badu Jack looking for a last-minute replacement right now. So just wanted to pass that along.
That's something that's very special, that he's having the opportunity to fight on the cards like that. to get some exposure to Bayou Jack when you got two headliners like Mayweather and with Lloyd with the internet sensation with all of those followers and things like that. So it gives other fighters the opportunity to get their name out there, you know, and that's also good, Bob.
Right, right. It's just, we never know what's going to happen till that night when people start showing up at the ring that he was fighting, because we've been seeing a lot of, not just with the COVID, but also, here we go, another somebody doing something they shouldn't be doing to their bodies.
Yeah, but you run, but you can't hide, as they all the time say. Somebody, we know, and it's only a matter of time. You know, there ain't nothing like a good ass whooping. In a humble joker, you know, especially when they get hit upside the head. So, yeah, we understand all of that. It makes some sense come to them if they don't have none.
Right. You know, and also we have some good fights tonight too. Devin Haney, that's going to be a good one too. Just for people to know, that's on the zone fighting against an Irish boy. That's a good one. And don't forget too, we have is the Showtime fight as well, which is going to be a barn burner too with Ubali and Donaire. So there's a couple of good things to look for tonight too. There it is. A couple of great fights and good undercards.
Oh yeah, absolutely. You know, with a good undercards with the exposure that both of them bring to the table, you know, you say, wow, man, sometimes, you know, against an experienced and inexperienced fighter, with Mayweather being an experienced fighter, Lloyd being an inexperienced fighter, I think it's 0-1 or something like that. But it is an exhibition, and we're going to see where Floyd Mayweather's at to see if he still has his boxing skills, if he can stick and move and do that great defense that that he always has, to be able to hit and not get hit against a bigger, inexperienced guy, whether, you know, it's like a glorified sparring match, and if he can still do those type of things. And that's the key, Bob.
Yes, it is. And just a reminder to people, too, that's next Sunday night, too. It's not going to be Saturday. We usually talk about big fights on Saturday nights, but just to let people know, that's the 6th, so it's actually Sunday night next week.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, things are vastly changing in boxing, and we're trying to keep people up with it as we try on our platform as, you know, things continuously happen. You know, we just have to keep going on.
Right. And, you know, some good numbers, too, over the past along also from the ESPN, the fight last week, the Taylor versus Ramirez. Again, it was all over the place, ESPN, ESPN Plus, a lot of other digital platforms, but we basically only get the numbers from the actual ESPN broadcast, but they're good numbers. The peak was 1.673 million. The average was just over 1.3 million, and the entire show, the 2.5-hour show, brought in just under a million viewers on average at 995,000. So at 1.673 million for a peak, and the 1.3 million average were the highest that ESPN has had since a long time. Shakur Stevenson, that fight a couple months ago was 1.3 million. So that's a nice little uptick. And we were talking about that last week. That was going to be a great fight, and it turned out to be a really good fight as well, with Taylor getting a couple knockdowns and saying, man, if they didn't do those knockdowns, it would have been a draw. So, we got to see a very entertaining fight last week, too, and a lot of people saw it. So we're happy with those numbers.
Yeah, Bob, you know, it's really something how, you know, these numbers are fluctuating like that during the pandemic. There's nothing, you know, in the fluctuation, the peaks and the troughs, you have a good average of what they're doing on those, like ESPN, Showtime, and stuff like that. And that's why we're trying to bring the viewer, you know, what boxing's doing. Boxing ain't dead. It's alive. You know, people are watching, and you're getting numbers. It may not be the high numbers like they want, but they're getting steady numbers.
Right, and it seems to be increasing, too, which is the other point. Again, that depends on the competition and the level of fights that we're seeing. But, again, that was a good fight, and the people actually checked it out. And I think everybody kind of walked away pretty pleased over that one last week, too.
Yeah, absolutely. It's it was a good, exciting fight, and that's what people are looking for. But look, Bob, you have in the heavyweight division, we were hoping the show, we were talking about Deontay Wilder, Tyson Fury. You come out and you see in the news, breaking news yesterday, that Klitschko's coming out. Vladimir is Vitaly's coming out of retirement to fight Shannon Briggs, and he's saying he's looking to hope to be the undisputed champion.
I know, I've heard that, and we were joking yesterday when we were talking a little pre-show meeting, and we were laughing, saying, well, you know, here's Shannon Briggs, first of all, who you know, we talked about back in the beginning of our show years ago, and he wanted to come back and fight, so it looks like he is actually getting back into the ring. But, you know, we have a Klitschko versus Mike Tyson championship fight down the road somewhere if everything plays out.
Oh, yeah.
You know, with Trevor Bryan, Trevor Bryan, and Mike, he wants to give Tyson a shot at the title, and, you know, Tyson gets that, then would that be wild to see Tyson and Klitschko go at it down the road, maybe 22 or whatever.
yeah. It's really something what's brewing. You know, that could be a good matchup for Mike Tyson, Klitschko. You got Vander Holyfield saying he wants, but Mike Tyson said he's doing something with Lennox Lewis. Him and Lennox Lewis look like they're trying to get it on to try to make it happen as these other fighters get out and try to make things happen, you know. Just one of those.
It looks like this Legends League is taking off, though. I mean, Mike Tyson started that thing, wanted to create this, you know, old-timers league, Legends League, whatever you want to call it. But, you know, he's getting interest here. We keep seeing every week there's another name from the past popping up, you know, the Klitschkos and you know, even Shannon Briggs and some of these other guys that are coming out, Lennox Lewis, and, you know, maybe even Kevin McBride. It's all out there. So it would be pretty interesting to see how it all shakes out. But there we go. The old
absolutely. You know, it's just one of those things. These guys are biting at the bit. As one comes out, another one looks and say, hey, look, if he can do it, I can do it too.
Exactly.
So let's see what happens, whatever it is. It's interesting that the public is because something that the younger generation's not doing, and they're not giving the people what they want. And that's that excitement to see the clash of different styles and seeing great fights and things like that, both of them climbing in the ring and fighting to try to make that happen. You know, you just – the public is saying they're not seeing that, so – they're saying, well, if we can't see that, we'll want to see something else. I think that's what they're saying. But let's hopefully that these guys can get themselves together, go get in great dynamite shape, and with no excuses when you get your butt whooped that, hey, look, it wasn't my night that night, and the guy came out and did what he had to do, and he whooped my tail. So that's the best way that you go at it with the public, I think, and instead of the blame game and you move on. And look to fight a better fight another day at a different time.
Right. And, you know, another name that we've been tossing around lately, too, Manny Pacquiao coming back. We talked about that last week, too, taking on Errol Spence Jr. And, of course, Spence, you know, he did come back after that horrible, horrific accident that he was in and had another fight after that. He looked like he's back the way he was before the accident, and this would be a great matchup, too, bringing out Manny Pacquiao, taking a break from being a full-time center in the Philippines to step in the ring one more time against a great fight. That could be a good fight coming up, too. So
absolutely.
Things lining up, yeah. Yeah, the lineup is starting to come together here as we break out of the pandemic and start opening up, and the venues are opening, and people are starting to come back into the arenas. And that's where we're going to start seeing some of these big names. And who knows what happens in the heavyweight class down the road, even after we sort this all out, whether, you know, it's Joshua and, you know, Usyk and everything else that's happening, even Wilder, Fury. But, you know, these are good fights, and we're looking forward to them. And eventually, depending on what happens, somebody's going to fight Joshua, you know. And we're looking like Usyk now, and then we'll see what happens after Wilder and Fury go at it for the third time.
And the thing about it is that when Klitschko called out somebody, it's somebody, that he fought before, and I guess this is a rematch fight
one thing I can say about, like, Mike Tyson and them in these, I don't know whether to call it fights or exhibitions, it's someone that's been active, fighter that has experienced former world champions that are on the same level. You know, but Mayweather's not doing that. He's fighting guys with lesser skill level, not champions and stuff like that, and people want to see that. So you're seeing that where guys that can develop a name and get a little bit of boxing experience and call out a great champion, and then you have all the contenders sitting there and say, what kind of crap is that? You know, so you just, you know, it's a crazy situation. And I think, you know, like all the MMA guy stuff that happened with fighters and boxers and stuff like that, it's going to run its course. And people say, look, I'm tired, and they're going to stop tuning in. That's what's going to happen. You know, it's all right, you know, during the pandemic, things like that, you know, came about. But in the long run, the real boxing aficionados, the fan that loves boxing and stuff like that, you know, they're going to start voicing their opinion, whether they like it or dislike it, what's going on. And that's what we have to look at. But hats off to them guys that are making a living for themselves and making millions of dollars. And that's a good thing within itself, Bob.
Right, and we always talk about the price point of some of these pay-per-views. Now, the trailer, I believe that's going off at $50. I believe that's what that ticket is. But, you know, we talked during the pandemic.
They raised it, Bob. They changed the price scale, yeah. And Mayweather, the raise of the ticket prices, it went over his official website. You know, that was a key factor, too. You know, they raised it. I think it's $75 now.
Okay, wow, yeah. See, again, we talk about that price point, and now we have opened up a little bit, so you can possibly get back to that, you know, crowd at your house kind of thing. That pay-per-view kind of lives on when you get a couple guys and gals together and throw $10, $20 in, have a big party with the food and the fights and everything. But, you know, we'll see what happens, too. Well, we don't really get those numbers as well. That's one of the things that we've talked about over time and time again, that the streaming numbers we don't see. So, you know, it's all based on the subscriptions and et cetera. But there we go. You know, we're looking at it, and let's see what happens. And we'll kind of know, you know, because what we said before, when the numbers are really good, they let you know. If they're not good, they don't say anything. So, you know, it happens.
Yeah, well. We'll see what's going to happen, you know, as we go on. But, you know, it looks like, we're still going live, and our guests, I think we may have a difficult problem here, Bob. The online thing that we're at, to bring people into our show. The show is actually still playing as we're talking live, but our computer stuff that's on the screen, it shut down. So we're going to have to try to bring the guest that we had on, had scheduled on in a different way, a different platform, Bob, because it looks like it jammed up again. And the system is down on the computer side.
Right. Wow. Yeah.
Yeah. It shut down. It cut us off. But we'll try to improvise and get people that we had talent and scheduled to go on. We'll see if we can bring them on one way or another.
Right.
Because the controls is shut down, so we'll see what's going on with all of that. It just wiped us out, but it's still playing, and we'll see. We'll see as we go on. Yeah. But we like to thank you, you know, for tuning in spite of the, you know, we have been having technical difficulties before. And we're just trying to smooth all of that out. You know, it is the internet. You get glitches and stuff like that. And, you know, sometimes there's a surge of people going in on the traffic with us, and it caused a system to shut down. But that's here and there.
Right. Yeah, that's where it is. Okay.
Yeah, so we get back into the boxing news. You know, Mike Tyson special, it did air, and they were going through Mike Tyson's life and to see what happens, and just it was showing viewing good. People were talking about it, but there's a lot of things. You know, Mike Tyson's life has always been something that people are interested in because, you know, he's been in the public eye since he was a kid, and it makes it interesting how people still are interested in Mike Tyson's life.
Oh yeah, oh yeah. It's you know, we heard of Mike Tyson, and then he was in, and now he's everywhere. You know, it's just something else. And you know, he's a guy that, you know, as you well know, he knows how to get people to watch him. You know, he's one of those guys bigger than life. And the personality, you know, it's here we go. Mike Tyson, people are talking all about him, you know, not Tyson Fury. Even though Tyson Fury's trying to get out there and getting his name everywhere, you know, he's talking a lot of stuff. He does, you know, he'll take on Wilder again, so he doesn't have a problem with that. And we still are talking about a July date for that as well. And we'll see what happens once again. But it looks like that could possibly be held at the Allegiant Stadium in Las Vegas. That's the new home of the Las Vegas Raiders football team. And that'll be a big outdoor event. And we'll see again how the whole pandemic and things happen. But it looks like they might actually have a nice big crowd outside. We'll see what happens again, like I said. But that's looking forward to maybe, you know, 70,000, 80,000 people packing into the stadium out there in Vegas.
Right, right. You're absolutely right. Yeah, it's really something, Bob. When you have different things going on with the show, so I don't know, you know, how to explain or whatsoever, but we'll keep trying to work. They're trying to get our guys on there. Hey, Coach. Well, we like to welcome John Johnson into the World Boxing Review Radio Show. Hey, John, we're having difficulties with our computer system, so you're live now. John Johnson, the former manager of Buster Douglas, and he has a fighter Green that's fighting. Welcome into the World Boxing Review Radio Show, John.
Yeah, can you get Alante and Romeo on too?
Yes, we can. If you hold on, we'll try to get him in and cue him in here the best way that we can, John, because our call-in number and our system it went down, and we're sorry for this inconvenience. But let's try to get.
They were going to be calling 11:30.
Yeah, I know. We had difficulties. We're just making sure that you're on and you're live here. So I'm trying to cue him in here. Yeah, Bob. So, you know, we got John Johnson, former manager Buster Douglas, online.
Right.
We're trying to get a coach and all of that that we had scheduled to come on with Green. We're calling, but we're not receiving no answer here. Let's see. Yeah, it's ringing here. Let's see if he picks up. Here.
Nothing like live radio, right?
Yeah, nothing like live radio. Hello, Alonzo? Hello, Alonzo? Yeah, John, he didn't answer. Let's come back with you, and we'll start talking to you. We'll cut him off here. John Johnson, you know, there's no a secret of who you are. You manage Buster Douglas over his victory over Mike Tyson. You've been a manager in the game. We done had you on our show many a times. And we want to first just start talking about what you have going on with this fighter that's fighting in Atlanta. You talk about and tell us about him and what you're trying to do with him.
Well, I think to get, and I just actually was talking to him because, you know, we were wanting him on this show too. I hope we can pull that off. And his trainer, Romy O'Connor, who's a great trainer. But I told this kid, I truly believe this kid's got greatness in him. You know, he's got. I told him, I said, you know, you're like Buster. You got a great quick lightning, quick jab, and he can punch with either hand. He's got great feet. And I've seen all these things, and we were just talking. I've been with this kid 7 or 8 years, been working with him with his amateur and so on and so forth. And like I said, he's got a fantastic trainer that I want to see be successful because he's paid his dues so many years, and now he finally has someone that I think – I've seen spurts of greatness. He has to put it all together. And next Friday night, he'll be fighting against someone that has a, you know, 21 fights. You know, Alonte has 8. But I truly believe that he's got greatness in him. And we're going to see. And I've told him he's a cruiserweight. There's some really, really good cruiserweights if you're going to become a cruiserweight world champion. You got to get ready, and fortunately, he's working his butt off. So I'm very happy with him and his trainer. They're good people too, you know, and that's so important, as you know, in this business. You know.
Oh yeah, man. You meet people along the way, and you know, for the fans who wanted to know, you know, me and John Johnson, and like many people in the boxing community. We have been friends for a long time. We have fighters, sparring partners, all of that. Use guys back and forth. And still after, you know, you win, you lose, but all of us still remain friends and understand that boxing is a business. It ain't about a gang war thing. It's about fight. As you see Muhammad Ali, Joe Frazier, George Foreman, they talk and hug each other. That's the way we have always been, John, you know.
Yeah, for sure. And I always quote you constantly when we talk about the fight, the century, you always said that I, John Johnson, the only one that really believed that Buster Douglas would beat Mike Tyson. And I did, you know, I did. I thought if he did what we work on and so on, and got in shape to do it, then he beat him.
Well, John, let's talk a little bit about that fight. You know, how did you get the fight? Number one, people are very confused about, they think you just came out of the blue with Buster, but it wasn't the case. You had fought some fights leading up to the Mike Tyson fight. But talk about that.
We fought on, I think, 5 or 6 of Mike's undercards. And Don kept us going along because, like you said in the interview, he was looking for an easy fight for Mike before the Holy Trail fight and so on, and he felt busted with that. But it got down to us fighting Oliver McCall, and the winner was going to fight Mike. And this was like in August, and Buster won a close decision. And then we started training for Mike, and because we thought the fight was going to be in October, and then I think Mike got they switched and said, you're not going to fight Mike next. He's going to fight Razor Ruddock in Saskatchewan. And we was fighting it. A really nice guy, like heavyweight from Saskatchewan. I can't think of his name. And then, you know, then you'll fight Mike Tyson. And, you know, so you do what you're okay with. The Don said, that's what you're going to have to do. That's what you have to do. And so he beat Oliver McCall.
Who end up being a heavyweight champion, too, Oliver McCall.
Yeah.
And then he had a close loss. He beat Greg Page, correct?
Yeah, Buster beat Greg Page, but it's one of his really, really good fights of that. And he had some Yeah, I always thought he had first meeting I ever had with him. I said, hey, you know, you got greatness in you. You got to pay the price and get it out to be a heavyweight champion of the world. And he finally did. But the key to that, Aaron, was we started training for an October fight. And then they said November, we kept training. And then in November, they said it's going to be February, and we kept training. So he had about 6 months or so of constant training. And that's what it takes to be in great shape. You can't get in great shape in a month.
Right.
You know,
yeah,
you train over a period of time. And fortunately, we had the time, and he trained. And you know, he had some things happen. It's very negative things happened to his life. And it is during this tough time. But he overcame it and won, you know.
Yeah, well, a lot of people don't know about your background, John. You know, you were with the great Woody Hayes at Ohio State when he was – talk a little bit about that, John.
Well, yeah. Coach Hayes, you know, there's certain people in your life that have great influence on your life, and he was definitely one for me. I learned so much from him, as far as motivation and all those kind of things, and was associated with some great athletes at Ohio State, and I'm still that we call it the greatest brotherhood, you know, due to Bab and Buster, I'm able to do some great things to help people who need help. You know, I really focus on kids with foster kids and kids with mental issues you know, try to help poor people, you know, kind of do what Jesus said to do every day. And then after that, I work with my boxing and still trying to get a movie made. But like I said, I thought we'd make my quit. I thought we'd beat him up for 6-7 rounds. But, man, when I gained respect for him, I got up. I was like, man, I love that guy that got up.
Yeah, well, you know, in that fight, what makes it such a great fight, you have so much drama and stuff like that in it. But that's what happens in a great fight to be great. Great things got to happen. Number one, you know, when Mike Tyson knocked Buster Douglas down, nobody thought that he was going to get up. But he did get up, and he got up fighting. And then to turn it around and catch Mike Tyson with that uppercut that changed the fight.
But the punch that stopped him, the punch that won the fight was, I call it a stick. Now I'm calling it a missile.
Uh-huh.
So that's just straight left hand back up the middle inside of the right hand, protected the hook. And we went bang, bang, bang up the middle. And many times you'll see Mike could get ready to throw his hook and bam, his head would go backwards. And that was the final punch. Final punch was that.
Yeah.
The uppercut, and Mike started falling and came back with a straight left hand with his ass behind it.
And nobody talks about Mike Tyson got up from all of that and was he was on his feet trying to fight. And I'd say that's one of those fights he never gave up.
I give him all the respect in the world. I ran into him, you know, like 15 years later out in Vegas, and I didn't know much. Probably just probably looked at him and thought about me, and we hugged each other. And I told him, I said, man, I love you. I got great respect for you. And he said, I feel the same way, you know. You know, and that's kind of like what you were saying in boxing. Boy, you can be ready to take each other's heads off and step the other, but after it's over, then and there's that respect, like no other, that, you know, you got with other people. Hey, where are we with Alante and Romeo?
Yeah, I tried calling them, John. They didn't return. They didn't pick up. And the board on the show, let me see here, John. Let me try them again and see if we can get Alante on them on there. Hold on. We'll ring him again to bring him into the show and see if he picks up. You there, Bob?
Yeah. Hey, while you're doing that, John, hey, it's Bob Murray. Just wanted to ask you a question, John. Somewhere in between the time that Buster went down and the time the fight ended, was there a moment where you said, man, we could really do this? Was there another turning point?
Technical difficulty. Let me see. The phone's ringing to get him into the show.
Okay.
Hello? Hello?
Yeah, buddy.
Yeah, John. He's not picking up. You know, he probably don't know that we're having problems with the show, and he's probably...
Yeah, he's calling that other number.
I'm sorry about that, John, but you're still here. And Bob, you go ahead and ask John. He probably couldn't hear you while we was making that other call. But go ahead, Bob. Ask.
Hey, John. Yeah, I just had a question, too. Somewhere in between the time that Buster went down and the time the fight ended, was there a moment where you said, man, we really could do this, or another turning point, you know, somewhere where you saw something?
No, at the end of the fourth round, if you watch the videotape, I tell him, I say, you won all four rounds, just stay in control. And Larry Merchant said, John Johnson, Buster's manager, just said he won all four rounds. And he said, unbelievable. I agree. You know? And then at the his eyes started to really show up about the fifth, sixth round or something. And I kept, you know, like this, hey, man, let hard, short right hand and keep pounding on that eye. And I could see a look on Mike's face. It's like he was saying, what the heck is going on? At the end of the round, I always watch the other fighter at the end of the round. Where is he? I'm actually worried because of what stuff. But then when Buster went down, and my first thought was, I was proud of him, no matter what, I was proud of him. You know, he gave it all he had. And then I seen he wasn't hurt. And when he came over and sat back down, I started yelling as loud as I could. He's going to come like hell, you understand? He's going to come like hell. And he did. He came out and bailed Buster. And then Buster kept fighting. It was 10 May is a boxing writer from here in Columbus. Because the ninth round of that fight was the greatest round in heavyweight history. You know, I've seen some great ones, though, too. We all have. So, but
it was one of those fights. You know, some things are destined in time, and some things are destined in space. And that was the time, and that was the space it was destined in. But John, what is Buster doing now? Talk a little bit about him. What is he doing?
He's got a great job that he loves, working with kids for the Columbus Recreation Department, and Buster's Buster's happier around kids than his adults. You know, that's his personality, you know. He's doing that. He's doing some signings and stuff. So, you know, the main thing that we have in our, if we have where we're going and doing something that we're happy doing, and getting paid for it, you know. So, he's hanging in there, you know.
Yeah, well, Billy Douglas, his father, was a great fighter, too. And people fall short of that, you know, that Billy Douglas was a great fighter, too. Talk a little bit about that, John.
Well, we all were good friends up until I became involved with Buster, and then, of course, after the Tucker fight, he was eliminated from any involvement. So there was a lot of bitterness later on. But Bill Douglas was a real tough, really try to take your head off a person fighter. And he fought some great fights, you know, get some great fighters in the day. He never became the world champion, you know. But he learned a lot from Bill Douglas. The key person in our fight and everything was J.D. McCauley, which is Buster's uncle, who, when he decided to restart his career, he went to, and he said, if I was you, I would call Johnny Johnson, which they call me Johnny. And that's how it began. But J.D. did a fantastic job of, he's the one that had to go get him up every morning and make him get up and run and do all the things. And he did it for, you know, like I said, we broke 6 months of, mm-hmm. of doing, you know. That's kind of how it all happened, you know. And I know that my feeling is thoughts about Mike is I thought Mike was in great shape. Mike may have never been in better shape than he was to that fight. Congratulations there. A lot of people don't look at it that way. You don't take an ass with a like that for 30 minutes and not be in great shape and still be fighting, still get up.
I'm going to tell you what they said. John L. Sullivan's trainer said when John L. Sullivan, when he lost in his bout, is that the liquor and the booze and all the things that in his life that he was doing wrong all count came and caught up with him in one night. And that best describes one thing. And, you know, you win together, you lose together. There's no excuses, whatever. Buster Douglas did win, and he won by a knockout. And that's history, and that comes from preparation so you don't have a piss-poor performance. And, you know, I've been, like I all the time say, on both ends of the stick. Julio Cesar Chavez and Frankie Randall, when Frankie Randall beat Julio Cesar Chavez and knocked him down and everything and won the upset like you, John. So with a lot of different fighters, a lot of different big events, I've been in on all kinds of the point. So, and you just have to give people credit, their credit that's due to them when they win. It's all about winning, but you did win, and like I all the time say to you, congratulations. And that's the way the game goes. Sometimes you win, sometimes you lose. But you have to take winning and losing in its proper perspective. And I can tell you this, Mike Tyson won more fights with me than he lost. And he did defend, he did defend the undisputed heavyweight championship of the world with me a few times. So, you know, all of that other nonsense, it's just like nobody was came. But that goes with the garbage of selling TV and selling newspapers. The real people in boxing, like yourself and many other people, know that I spent my whole lifetime in boxing.
But from our standpoint, I tell people, I say, well, you know, Mike, this is the market party, and Mike didn't train off bullshit. That just means how stupid you are that you think that you have to be in great shape to fight like he did for 30 minutes and take the punishment that he took himself. Now, did he think the fight was going to be easy? Absolutely. Did he have problems with Robin in that situation? Absolutely. But that also made him kind of go back into a shell rather than out. It's like they said, oh, it was all partying every night. Bullshit, you know?
Yeah.
I was there. I was there for 17 days and, you know.
Right.
But, so, anyhow, my man, I how long are you on? I'd show up for you to get Alonzo and Romeo.
I'm trying to get him, John. He won't pick up his phone, so.
Well, why?
We'll try. Just talk a little bit about Alonzo and who he is until we can get him.
Alonzo. He's got, I think he's got great potential. We'll see. I've seen, you know, I see spurts of greatness in an athlete or fighter. And in fighting, you've got to put those spurts together. Can't do it just once in a while, you know. And then in order to do that, you got to be in the condition to do it, both physically and mentally, you know. But I know he's probably trying to call you right now.
He's fighting for a WBC title. Talk a little bit about what he's fighting.
WBC MS in the MS it's USA title or something, and the NABA title.
Mm-hmm.
But the main thing is getting understand rated in the world top 15 top. And then we just got to continue winning in the right spots and get to that point to where he's fighting for the world championship. And as I told him, it's not going to be easy. And the cruiserweight, they got some good 200-pound athlete is your wide receivers and defensive backs now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's the type of athlete that you've got, you know. And speed is a big factor for those guys.
Yes,
and it's got to be a big factor.
He's always the factor. Right speed at the right time, you can make things happen. Like I always say, and it's hard work, and you got to practice, and you know, and you got to work your fundamental skills in order for that speed. Because form and technique bring speed, that brings power. The more you have a form on something, and you keep working on speed, through time, the coordination comes more precise and more direct from a jab, a right hand, a left hook, or uppercut, whatever you're working on. The more you do it with form and technique, and you keep working on speed, which is hard work, it's tiresome because it's all-out effort. And the more you do it, the more precise, more direct you can do it, and then you can go pull it off and fight. So, you know. And that, I believe that's what you're talking about, John. And hopefully this young man can become world champion. As you're talking about, he got plenty of talent. And it looks like he has the fire and desire. And definitely with Alphonse, he has a good trainer from up there in the Cleveland, Ohio area. And, you know, Ohio has produced a lot of great athletes and fighters and stuff like that, you know. Cali Pavic, Boom Boom Mancini, Tim Austin, Larry Donald, you know, Buster Douglas, man, there's a lot of great fighters, and you can go back in the history of boxing. It has produced a lot of great fighters. And Tony Tubbs, a heavyweight champion from Ohio. So, Ernie Shavers, yeah. It's long find and distinguished list of champions and managers, too, as yourself. You know, it came out of there, Aaron Pryor and Buddy LaRosa, who was a Ohio has pushed a lot of great athletes and world champions in boxing. But, John, we got like 3 minutes left in the show. We're going to ask Bob Murray. Hey, Bob, any questions more for John?
No, I think you answered pretty much the questions, and I figure at this point in time that Buster Douglas isn't really going to try to make a comeback here with all the other old-timers getting back into the ring, right? You don't see that happen, do you, Doug?
Absolutely not.
Okay, we figured not, right? He's happy to know what he's doing, yeah.
Hey, you know what? Hey, let me tell you something. If they can make money doing it and not get hurt, and stuff, you know, more power to them. It's amazing that what's happening with that outside of, you know, look at Floyd Mayweather and that guy. I don't know who the guy is, but, you know, I mean, and the numbers and all that, you know, I'd like to see that be put into the real boxing people, pocket some money and so on and so forth. But, hey, it's entertainment. I guess that's what's happening, you know.
Yeah, it's entertainment. But you've been around the game a long time. You see.
I want to watch it.
Yeah, you see a lot of that go on. So we understand what it is. But the real boxing aficionado want to see boxing, people hitting or getting hit. You know, they like to see different styles, the boxer against the slugger.
I'm proud of boxing right now. There's some really good fighters out there, and now they're putting the best against the best to a great degree, and because of the numbers, and you can't, there's no, you know, build up against X number of guys that can't fight and so on and so forth. People are having to fight each other. That's what we're doing with our kids. We're saying, hey, look, this kid can fight. You know, he has extensive amateur background. He's mature physically and mentally, and he's got speed, and he's got power, and he's got, let's go do it. I thought they were taking Justin Fields and saying, well, you know, doesn't have much experience, so let's say on the bench for a couple of years.
Okay. But, John, we like to thank you for coming on the World Boxing Review Radio.
Well, I appreciate it, but you got to have my guys on.
Yeah, we'll have them on, and we'll get this
talk about the win.
Yeah, we'll talk about we'll get them guys on, and I'm sorry for the platform messing up, but it happens from time to time, and we were off the air for quite a few times because of the platform messing up. And we got to find out what's wrong with all of that, and we'll see what happens, you know. But we'd like to thank you, John, for coming on the World Boxing Review Radio Show. My name is Aaron Snowell. They call me the Hall of Fame Trainer of Champions, and our radio aficionado, Bob Murray, and our boxing historian, Henry Hascock. Tune in next week, same time, same place, from 11 to 12. Thanks.
Thank you.